This reading is from John chapter 10, starting at verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered there round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, 'I am God's son'? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in Jesus.
I do hope you'll keep John 10 open in front of you as we study it together, but first let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we ask now that what we know not, you would teach us. What we have not, you would give us. And what we are not, you would make us. For your Son's sake. Amen. I suppose every parent knows that moment when their child, thinking themselves to be clever, has answered back or just gone and done something that you honestly expected them, indeed you had told them not to do. They say, "But you didn't say don't." And you, with that half exasperated, half indulgent smile on your face, say, "I did tell you, and you didn't believe me." And try as they might to escape from it, you had told them, perhaps not in so many words, but you had said, "Be careful," you had said, "Think," you had shown them by doing differently yourself. And that experience is not unlike the moment we find ourselves reading about today in the life of the Lord Jesus. There was, of course, only a temptation to exasperation before verse 25. The Lord Jesus never sinned, and therefore there is only love and grace in his reply. "I did tell you, and you do not believe." So what has Jesus said or not said? What is this occasion that we are reading about? You may find it titled in your Bible, "Jesus at the Festival of Dedication." It is what we know today as Hanukkah, the 8 nights and days marked by lighting a candle on the menorah, the candlestick. The festival is not one that God ordained in the law, but it comes from the days of a 7-year Maccabean revolt when they overthrew the Seleucid kings for a time and they re-established temple worship, which had been banned. It was called a Festival of Tabernacles in the month Kislev. That approximates to December for us. The winter, we might say, light in dark times. It was celebrated at home as well as in the temple. And the people rejoiced in the right to worship freely that had been denied to them. So there is a sense for us, as John introduces this moment, of light in dark times, and there is a sense also of a chill wind blowing against Jesus in those December months, and he is finding shelter in the temple courts. And indeed, that's where the early church will one day meet, until they too are opposed by another chill wind of persecution. You can read about that in Acts. John is using this festival, this moment, to move the story along, not just by 3 months, not just in time, but also in the depths of animosity and in the clarity of Jesus' teaching. What we have here is another trap set to catch him out, tied to the festival by the earlier Feast of Tabernacles, which we had been reading about, tied together with that earlier teaching because Jesus uses the same metaphors to convey the truth. But a trap and a clearer explanation. A trap. Tell us, don't keep us in suspense. Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? So what then is this Messiah? This matters. So let's take a brief step aside to understand what John assumes for those reading the text. The Messiah is an Old Testament prophecy, a promise of God that one day he would send a deliverer. Not a political deliverer, but yes, the politics of the world will change because of him, but an eternal spiritual deliverer. One so anointed that he can deal with the biggest, deepest, darkest, nastiest problems of the human condition. And despite what we read in our papers today, that is neither politicians nor pandemics. The word Messiah, used as a title, is only found in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 9. Which is interesting because the picture is painted in many words in so many other places. And the one that helps, I think, the most is an interesting one because God says that he uses even pagan kings like King Cyrus and calls him his anointed. And Isaiah chapter 45 that we read before and some of the surrounding chapters tell us 5 things about the anointed one. In chapter 41 and verse 25 of Isaiah, we read, I've stirred up one from the north and he has come, one from the east who invokes my name. He will march over rulers as if they were mud, like a potter who treads the clay. God has chosen someone. He has picked out a person to be his anointed one. The first truth is that the anointed one is chosen by God. And then we read in chapter 45 that he is appointed to a redemptive purpose. He is towards God's people. He is designed, he is set apart, he is appointed to rescue them from sin and the effects of sin. This is what the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker says, ask me what is to happen to my sons and instruct me about the work of my hands. I made the earth and created humans on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded everything in them. I have stirred him up in righteousness and will level all roads for him. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, not for a price or a bribe, says the Lord of armies. Here is one who will come and rescue people from sin and the effects of sin. In chapter 47, we understand that the anointed one of God is also the judge, and he will judge the foes of God's people, and he will destroy and remove sinners and their sin from the land that God made to be good, as we've just read. He will restore the land not only by rescuing his people, but by judging those who are not his people and removing them. God has anointed his chosen one then to have dominion over all the nations. Chapter 45 again, The Lord says this to Cyrus, his anointed, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue the nations before him and disarm kings. That's very important. He will rule. The anointed one will rule over all. And in all things we read very clearly that this one is God's agent, only doing the work that God appoints for him to do. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other, there is no God but me. I will strengthen you, though you do not know me, so that all may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is no one but me. God says, I will work through this one. What then is the Messiah? The Messiah, the chosen and anointed agent of God, who judges and redeems. Let me say that again, because it's important that we understand what then is the Messiah. The Messiah is the chosen and anointed agent of God, who judges and redeems. So much more could be said. And the study of the concept of Messiah in the Old Testament is a glorious one, but it will take a long time. There's much there. So this is the Messiah. Did Jesus tell them he was the Messiah? Well, not in so many words, no. But he would have been, quite frankly, a fool if he had done so to claim to be the Messiah they wanted him to be, the political leader that they were looking for, the rebel that they were hoping for at the time of a feast which celebrated a rebellion. If you want to have a short-lived, come to the attention of the state and get arrested career, well, that's the time to say, I'm a political rebel, when everybody's thinking about political rebels. If Jesus had said yes in short order and so many words, he would have been arrested then and there as a traitor against Rome. And Jesus knew full well that that was not God's plan. And despite this appearing to be a difficult place, a sticky situation, he does have a clear answer for them, for those who would trap him, but not that plain answer in simple words. So did Jesus tell them? Yes, of course he did. Jesus is not a bad parent who does not warn and encourage. Neither is he a bad shepherd who leads the sheep astray or does not sing loud enough for them to hear or know them and call them by name. They asked to be told plainly is the word. But John has used that word back in chapter 7. You can check the episode for yourself later, but you'll see how in verse 4, Jesus' brothers said to him, speak plainly. Will you go public with this news? And then in verse 13, the crowd, they wouldn't say plainly what they thought to be true for fear of the Jewish leaders. And finally in verse 26, the same crowd said, well, he's speaking plainly enough. The authorities have said nothing, so they must know he's the Messiah. And that's chapter 7. From the encouragement of family to speak plainly, to the crowd recognizing but being afraid, to the leaders. Jesus had spoken plainly. Jesus is there very clearly in the right time that he was the Messiah. The crowd knew. And indeed, wonderfully, in John chapter 4, he had announced himself privately to a Samaritan woman. But some of them wanted to trap him and get him arrested. Cold winds of trouble. So had he spoken plainly in the past? Yes, but what did he tell them now? He affirms in verse 25 that he has told them and that the problem is their choice to disbelieve. He says, my works and my words speak volumes about the fact that I am the Messiah. So see that in verse 25, I did tell you and you don't believe, Jesus answered them. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. And verse 27, his words, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. What works? What works is he referring to? Well, flick back through this gospel and see that Jesus healed a man paralyzed for 38 years. And Jesus restored the sight of a man undisputably born blind. And glance forward at the next chapter. and you will see that Jesus will raise to life a man so unquestionably dead that decomposition had begun to take place. Now, these works, they're not stories. Nobody's made these up. These are true. They really happened in history. No one back then disputed them. Here was a man doing what only an anointed one of God can do. And what about his words? Speaking in the metaphor of shepherd and sheep that has become familiar to us over the last few weeks, we're reminded of how the shepherd would stand at the gate and sing, and his voice would call the sheep out. They would know his voice and they would come. And perhaps he would call one or another by name and they would come. It's lambing season around here, and I wonder if you've stood at the field gate and listened to the bleating lambs in the field and the responding mothers and tried to work out where the links are between one and another. They seem to know, but I can't work it out. But this good shepherd knows each individual voice. And his voice is clear. And the sheep know his voice, and he knows their name, and they hear him call. His words are clear, and he calls out his own to follow him. Again, John has shown us in chapter 7, and we'll reinforce in the chapters to come, there are crowds of people who hear his voice and follow. At the raising of Lazarus, many had come. On Palm Sunday, it was those who'd gone out to Bethany and the people still left in Jerusalem. So his words and his works have told anyone who would listen, I am the anointed one of God, the Messiah you are waiting for. This is Jesus. This is the claim that he makes. We must ask then the next question. Why then do they doubt? Why do these ones doubt? And the answer, of course, is here in the text. Jesus says, because you are not my sheep. He says, you will not listen to my voice. He says, you do not believe. These are hard words, but they're true. There is no sense here of it's not their fault that they don't believe. Nothing could be further from the truth. These people have generations of God's revelation to them, explaining time and again just how he is at work, God is at work, and what his Messiah will look like. It is not God's fault that they do not believe. It is their sin nature and their own sinful choice that means they do not believe. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. What are they going to miss out on? That's what follows. Jesus says so clearly to those who choose not to believe that they will miss out on eternal life, on heaven. They will not enjoy an abundant life, the rich pasture and the fresh water and the security of being in the good shepherd, the Messiah's flock is a picture. All these things will not come to the one who does not believe. There is no other way in. There is no other way to get to these blessings. There is no universal salvation. There is security in the Father's hand. And that is reached by listening to and following on after the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Anointed One of God, the Messiah. Let me draw us to a close by asking this question. What does Jesus tell us? Jesus tells us what he told his hearers then. You must believe that Jesus is the one whom God has sent. His works and his words put this beyond doubt. Indeed, just as his deeds and words called then to the people of that day, so now our reading them, our recalling them, and this preaching of them proclaim them again to you. In truth, the Lord Jesus is calling to you right here, right now. Are you listening? There were those in that day that heard him say again as clearly as possible that he, Jesus, is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. They heard him say it, but we read they refused to believe and instead took up stones to murder him. They hated the message and they sought to kill the messenger. So what about you? Are you a listener or are you a stoner? Would you follow Jesus or will you add your hand to the hands that sought to kill him? There is no middle ground. It's time to get off the fence. And you need to decide today before it is too late. Dear one, you cannot afford to die and stand before Jesus as you will and hear him say, I did tell you, and you did not believe. If you hear those words, you will spend eternity in hell, for on that day of judgment, the Anointed One of God will remove all sinners and sin from the world. He will have dominion over all the world, and only those who have called on the name of the Lord and had the price paid for their sin and been saved, and only those will be there with him. They will be the redeemed. So may I say to you today, are you not one of his people? Do you not hear his voice now calling you by name? Follow the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life, and you will never perish. If you want to answer the Lord Jesus' call today, then you need to pray, saying that you are sorry for your sin and that you would have Jesus Christ as the one who leads you on from here, from now, until the end of this life, and on into eternity. If you'd like help to do that, then follow the details on the screen or give me a call afterwards. I'd love to talk to you. But for now, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word is truth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who on this occasion again declared himself to be the Messiah, the one you had anointed, the one you had appointed to redeem your people and to judge the world and remove sin and to have dominion so that sin cannot return and to do all things as your agent for your glory. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who proclaimed this truth, that he is your chosen one. We thank you that he did so in works and in words. We thank you for the warning that some do not listen. And we pray, Father, that you would call again to us, that not one who hears this message now would miss out, that we would hear the Lord Jesus call, and we would step out with him in faith and in hope that he will redeem us. We pray in his precious name. Amen.